squatting beneath the first of the cows. He snatched the spare stool, and they found cadence in their work, the sound of milk striking wood, drumming a funeral march. As they moved to the next pair down the line, Arlen saw his father begin hitching their strongest horse, a 5-year-old chestnut-coloured mare named Missy, to the cart. His face was grim as he worked. What would they find this time? Before long, they were in the cart, trundling towards the small cluster of houses by the woods. It was dangerous there, over an hour's run to the nearest warded structure, but the lumber was needed. Arlen's mother, wrapped in her worn shawl, held him tightly as they rode. "I'm a big boy, ma'am," Arlen complained. "I don't need you to hold me like a baby. I'm not scared." It wasn't entirely true. But it would not do for the other children to see him clinging to his mother as they rode in. They made mock of him enough as it was. "I'm scared," his mother said. "What if it's me who needs to be held?" Feeling suddenly proud, Arlen pulled close to his mother again as they travelled down the road. She could never fool him, but she always knew what to say, just the same. A pillar of greasy smoke told them more than they wanted to know long before they reached their destination. They were burning the dead. And starting the fires this early without waiting for everyone to arrive and pray meant there were a great many. Too many to pray over each one if the work was to be completed before dusk. It was more than 5 miles from Arlen's father's farm to the cluster by the woods. By the time they arrived, the few remaining cabin fires had been put out, though in truth, there was little left to burn. 15 houses, all reduced to rubble and ash. "The wood piles too," Arlen's father said, spitting over the side of the cart. He gestured with his chin towards the blackened ruin that remained of a season's cutting. Arlen grimaced at the thought of how the rickety fence that penned the animals would have to last another year and immediately felt guilty. It was only wood, after all. The town speaker approached their cart as it pulled up. Celia, whom Arlen's mother sometimes called Celia the Baron, was a hard woman, tall and thin, with skin like tough leather. Her long grey hair was pulled into a tight bun, and she wore her shawl like a badge of office. She brooked no nonsense, as Arlen had learned more than once at the end of her stick. But today, he was comforted by her presence. Like Arlen's father, something about Celia made him feel safe. Though she had never had children of her own, Celia acted as a parent to everyone in Tibbetts Brook. Few could match her wisdom, and fewer still her stubbornness. When you were on Celia's good side, it felt like the safest place in the world.
"It's good that you've come, Jeff," Celia told Arlen's father. "Sylvie and young Arlen too," she said, nodding to them. "We need every hand we can get. Even the boy can help."
Arlen's father grunted, stepping down from the cart. "I brought my tools," he said. "Just tell me where we can throw in." Arlen collected the precious tools from the back of their cart. Metal was scarce in the brook, and his father was proud of his 2 shovels, his pick and his saw. They would all see heavy use this day. "How many lost?" Jeff asked, though he didn't really seem to want to know.
27, Celia said. Sylvie choked and covered her mouth, tears welling in her eyes. Jeff spat again.
"Any survivors?" he asked.
"A few," Celia said. "Manny."
She pointed with her stick at a boy who stood staring at the funeral pyre. "Ran all the way to my house in the dark," Sylvie gasped. No one had ever run so far and lived. "The wards of Brian Cutter's house held for most of the night," Celia went on. "He and his family watched everything. A few others fled the callings and suckered there until the fire spread and their roof caught. They waited in the burning house until the beams started to crack, and then took their chances outside in the minutes before dawn. The callings killed Brian's wife, Mina, and their son, Paul. But the others made it. The burns will heal, and the children will be all right in time. But the others..." She didn't need to finish the sentence. Survivors of a demon attack had a way of dying soon after. Not all, or even most, but enough. Some of them took their own lives, and others simply stared blankly, refusing to eat or drink until they wasted away.